Chapter 1. The Beginnings of a Revolutionary. The revolution is a dictatorship of the exploited against the exploiters. Fidel Castro. Not long after his failed trip to the Dominican Republic, Fidel Castro arrived in Bogota, Colombia in April 1948 to support local activists. He was with a group of fellow Cuban students who were all sponsored by the Argentinian president, Juan Perón. He was there with modest aims in mind, simply to organize a new chapter of the Latin American Students' Congress. But soon after his arrival, the Colombian populist Jorge Eliezer Gaitán Ayala was assassinated, leading to massive riots in the streets between the military and Jorge's left-leaning supporters. Castro had met Jorge just a few days prior to his demise and, filled with passion for the fallen leader, was quick to join the forces with these leftist fighters, proving himself invaluable to the cause by stealing several guns from the police station and using them to arm several of the rebels. Fidel later recalled the rapid pace of events, claiming that the rebellion against the Colombian military regime began less than 10 minutes before the news started spreading of what had happened to Gaitán. It would seem that long before the internet was even imagined, the April 1948 assassination of Gaitán almost immediately went viral and galvanized all of the left-leaning youth in Colombia to take on the right-wing militarists. Result, by the end of the day, over 3,000 people had lost their lives in the ensuing struggle. But Castro was not one of them. Claiming another of his 9 lives, Fidel would live to see another day and return to Cuba a hero among the local revolutionary circles, where he began to catch the attention of many other agitators for the cause. But it was a young law student named Mirta Diaz Balart who managed to hold the energetic young revolutionary's own gaze. The two soon engaged in a whirlwind love affair that turned into marriage on October 12, 1948. Wed in a Roman Catholic church in Mirta's hometown of Benes, the two then went off on what was to be a 3-month honeymoon in the United States. The first leg of this tour was in Miami, but seemingly unprepared for the expenses of Florida's tourist capital, Fidel soon found himself broke, having to pawn his watch in order to finance their stay. Fidel's rich father soon intervened, however, and promptly wired him several $1,000s so that Fidel and his new bride could resume their adventure. They then rounded off their trip by going to New York to stay with Mirta's brother Rafael, who lived with his wife in a modest apartment on West 82nd Street. Here the two tried their best to take in the New York City life, with Fidel even renting a flashy white convertible to drive his new bride to see all the sights and sounds of the American East Coast. Once the young married couple had had their fill, they returned to Havana, where Mirta would give birth to Fidel's firstborn son, Fidelito, about a year later in September 1949. Meanwhile, as his family grew, Fidel continued to pursue his political activism while finishing his law degree. He would graduate from Havana Law School in September 1950. Shortly after his graduation, Fidel would attempt to take his practice to the streets by founding a legal partnership that sought to reach out to the poverty-stricken. But such noble endeavors usually left Fidel without a paycheck, and as a result, many of his possessions were repossessed and his utility bills were often shut off, much to the chagrin of his beloved Mirta. Despite these initial hardships, by 1952, Fidel thought that his political wrangling might have finally paid off. That was the year that Fidel managed to place himself as a prime contender in a 1952 run for Cuba's House of Representatives. It was during this campaign that Fidel would meet his future enemy and the man he would wage a revolutionary war against, General Fulgencio Batista. General Batista had already been president of Cuba from 1940 to 1944. And in 1952, he had thrown his hand in for another presidential bid. However, when it became clear that he would be facing a certain defeat, Batista turned away from the ballot box and to the guns of his soldiers, seizing power via a military coup and effectively canceling the 1952 elections. For the second time in his life, a corrupt Cuban leader had interfered with Fidel's plans, and Fidel's attempt at becoming a democratically elected official was